Srimad Bhagavatam of Srila Vedavyas, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It is Canto 8, Chapter
19,
Text 24. Yadricha yo papannena santushto vartate sukham na santushtas tribhir lokair ajitatmo pasaditai. Yadrichaya, as offered by the supreme authority according to one's karma. Upapannena, by whatever is obtained. Santushtaha, one should be satisfied. Vartate, there is. Sukham, happiness. Na, not. Asantushtaha, one who is dissatisfied. Tribhi lokaihi, even by possessing the three worlds. Ajita atma, one who cannot control his senses. Upasaditai, even though obtained. Before reading the verse translation, I'll read the verse translations of the previous two verses, which do not have purports and have not been read in the class by the devotees of ISKCON Salem in South India, to whom in particular I'm delivering this talk. So text 22. If I, this is Lord Vamanadeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of a dwarf, Lord Vamanadeva speaking to Bali Maharaj, if I were not satisfied with three paces of land, then surely I would not be satisfied even with possessing one of the seven islands consisting of nine varshas. Even if I possessed one island, I would hope to get others. We have heard that although powerful kings like Maharaj Prithu and Maharaj Gaya achieved proprietorship over the seven dvipas, they could not achieve satisfaction or find the end of their ambitions. So text 24. One should be satisfied with whatever he achieves by his previous destiny, for discontent can never bring happiness. A person who is not self-controlled will not be happy even with possessing the three worlds. Purport. If happiness is the ultimate goal of life, one must be satisfied with the position in which he is placed by Providence. This instruction is also given by Prahlad Maharaja. Sukham aindriyakam daitya deha yogena dehinam sarvatra labhyate daivad yata dukham ayatnataha. My dear friends, born of demoniac families, the happiness perceived with reference to the sense objects by contact with the body can be obtained in any form of life according to one's past fruitive activities. Such happiness is automatically obtained without endeavor, just as we obtain distress. This philosophy is perfect in regard to obtaining happiness. Real happiness is described in Bhagavad Gita. Sukham atyantikam yattad buddhigrahyam matindriyam veti yatra nachayvayam stitash chalati tatvataha. In the spiritually joyous state, one is situated in boundless transcendental happiness and enjoys himself through transcendental senses. Established thus, one never departs from the truth. One has to perceive happiness by the super senses. The super senses are not the senses of the material elements. Every one of us is a spiritual being, aham brahmasmi, and every one of us is an individual person. Our senses are now covered by material elements, and because of ignorance, we consider the material senses that cover us to be our real senses. The real senses, however, are within the material covering. Dehinosmin yatha dehe, within the covering of the material elements, are the spiritual senses. Sarvo padivinir muktam tatparatvena nirmalam. When the spiritual senses are uncovered, by these senses we can be happy. Satisfaction of the spiritual senses is thus described. Hrishikena hrishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchyate. When the senses are engaged in devotional service too, hrishikesha, then the senses are completely satisfied. Without this superior knowledge of sense gratification, one may try to satisfy his material senses, but happiness will never be possible. One may increase his ambition for sense gratification and even achieve what he desires for the gratification of his senses. But because this is on the material platform, he will never achieve satisfaction and contentment. According to Brahminical culture, one should be content with whatever he obtains without special endeavor and should cultivate spiritual consciousness. Then he will be happy. The purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement is to spread this understanding. People who do not have scientific spiritual knowledge mistakenly think that the members of the Krishna consciousness movement are escapists trying to avoid material activities. In fact, however, we are engaged in real activities for obtaining the ultimate happiness in life. If one is not trained to satisfy the spiritual senses and continues in material sense gratification, he will never obtain happiness that is eternal and blissful. Srimad Bhagavatam therefore recommends, Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam shudhid yasmad brahma sokyam tvanantam. One must practice austerity so that his existential position will be purified and he will achieve unlimited blissful life. The first statement in the purport, if happiness is the ultimate goal of life, that happiness is the ultimate goal of life, would be accepted by most people. Some people may say love is happiness, the ultimate goal of life. Some people say that to be good is the ultimate goal of life. Some people may say that to love God or to serve God or obey God is the ultimate goal of life. Once when Srila Prabhupada was asked this very important question, what is the ultimate purpose of life? I happened to be present when Mike Robinson of the London Broadcasting Corporation asked Srila Prabhupada what is the ultimate purpose of life, and I was expecting Srila Prabhupada will say something to the effect of the verse which Srila Prabhupada quotes half of it at the end of this purport, that one should engage in austerities. But that's also leading to what Brahma Sokyam Tvanantam. Srila Prabhupada said the purpose, well, he just said two words. Srila Prabhupada said two words, to enjoy. I was surprised, to enjoy. But then Srila Prabhupada went on to explain that everyone wants to be happy, but real happiness, we have to find out what that is. Now, talking about happiness in this material world, Srila Prabhupada writes, if happiness is the ultimate goal of life, one must be satisfied with the position in which he is placed by Providence. And this doesn't seem to make sense. It certainly wouldn't make sense to Bali Maharaj, who was placed by Providence in the lower regions of the universe, but with great endeavor he conquered over the whole of the universe. And it won't make sense to the materialistic civilization. People raised in this civilization are always pushed to do more, make a success of yourself, realize your full potential. Don't be satisfied with the position you're in. Raise yourself up, get a good education, work hard, so on, so on, so on. But what Vamana Dev says, makes a lot of sense. Vamanadeva says, discontent can never bring happiness. That makes sense, doesn't it? Ashantasya kutasukam. Krishna poses the rhetorical question in Bhagavad Gita, for one who is not peaceful in mind, or peaceful, well, in the context of Gita, Krishna is particularly referring to peace of mind, how can such a person have happiness? And therefore that this point is made by Vamanadeva. One should be satisfied with whatever he achieves by his previous destiny. Whatever situation you're in, be satisfied. On the other hand, a person who is not self-controlled will not be happy even with possessing the three worlds. And Vamanadeva has just given the example of great kings like Maharaj Prithu and Maharaj Gaya, even though they achieve proprietorship over the universe, more or less. They could not achieve satisfaction or find the end of their ambitions. A person who is not self-controlled will not be happy even with possessing the three worlds. Bali Maharaj should have known this because his great-grandfather, Hiranyakashipu, achieved possession over the three worlds, but he wasn't content. And ultimately he was killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Nrsimhadev. Vaman came as a cheating dwarf. Chalayati vikramane balimadbhuta vamana padanakanira janita janapavana keshavadhrita vamana rupa jai jagadisha hare. As a cheating dwarf, just saying, I want 3 steps of land. Well, he did not violate his statement that he would take 3 steps of land, but he misled Bali into thinking that his 3 steps of land would be a very small measure. And then he put his foot through the universe, and with the nails of his foot, he caused the purifying Ganga to come. So he cheated. No doubt Bali was on the watch out for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, on the advice of his guru, Shukra, that if he comes, he's watch out for lions or fierce people, and Vamana is the antithesis of a fierce person. He's a brahmana, and of course there could be brahmanas who are pretty fierce also, Parashuram, but he didn't come till after Vamana, so there was no experience. So in this way he was cheating also. Vaman was cheating because the demons were on the lookout for Vishnu, and they thought, well, Vishnu, he came as Varaha, he came as Nrsimha, so he's going to be in some fierce animal-like form, and he came in a human form and very mild. But Shukracharya, Kavina Mushana Kavihi, he's very smart, and so he worked it out. Anyway, this very important instruction. It's not just stories, the Bhagavatam, but it's an important instruction which we can apply in our life right now. Anyone in any time, in any place, in any circumstance. Be content with what you got. By the grace of God, and utilize life for God realization. Don't be ambitious. If we say this, people will say, well, we're destroying civilization. Maybe we are destroying their idea of civilization. But to most people, the way we're raised in, the culture that we're raised in, we see reality through the lens of a worldview given to us, not that we think it all out ourselves, but we're told that more is better, And of course, even within Western culture, there are others who are saying, no, small is better. Small is beautiful. More is not better. But their voices are not heard so much. So for many people, one must be satisfied with the position in which he is placed by Providence. That's not right. It seems counterintuitive. Happiness means you get more. Janmaishvarya Shuta Shri. If you have a higher birth, then you have more happiness than someone in lower birth. If you have material wealth, then you are happier than someone with very little money and possessions. If you are highly educated, then you're happier than someone who isn't. If you're very beautiful, then you're happier than someone like a hunchback, like Mantara, who's simply, as Kaikeyi pointed out to her, hunchbacks are simply objects of derision. So it would seem like, and that's good karma, to have high birth, wealth, intelligence, learning, good looks, that's good karma for happiness. But it's all misleading. Everyone wants happiness. But real happiness is in Krishna consciousness. Bali Maharaj was boasting to Vamana. Ah, Lokanam Ekam Ishwaram. I am the proprietor of all the worlds. He was boasting like that. Of course, he wasn't right. In one way, maybe he was the proprietor of the three worlds, but we never find that the demons, they conquer Janatapa Maha Satya Lokas, the planets of the rishis. Maybe they're not interested, maybe they don't even know it's there. Maybe they're not concerned with that, but it's not exactly all the universe. What to speak of the coverings of the universe, that's also part of the universe. So even when Hiranyakashipu or Bali thought that they conquered the whole universe, but it was just the universe that they knew of. Bali was boasting like this, that you see, you're not very intelligent. I'm intelligent. No, I can show I'm intelligent. I conquered the three worlds, and what did you do? You're just coming begging to me. But Vamana's turning around saying, no, you are unintelligent, because you made all this big effort to conquer all the three worlds, and you're still not content. Whereas I can be content with just enough space to lie down in the measure of land that I can cover with my three steps. So I'm in a better position than you, if happiness is the ultimate goal of life, if we accept that as the ultimate goal of life. So, as the whole Bhagavatam points out, happiness, real happiness, means in Krishna consciousness. And Vamanadev came to give that ecstasy to Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj was in ecstasy. When everything was taken away, he was tied up, humiliated, then he was in ecstasy. Not before that. Then he thought, oh, I gave everything to Vamana. Vamana's being so kind to me. Now I don't have to pretend to be the king of the demons and all this stuff. Now I'm openly a devotee of Vishnu. He went on being the king of demons afterwards, but it was open. It was an open secret that he was a devotee of Vamana. Vamana was living with him in Sutala later on. So he took everything away and gave ecstasy. Vamana took everything away and gave the ecstasy. So all the avatars, they come. What do they come for? Yada yada hi dharmasya, we all know very well. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashayata dushkritam dharma sangsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. The Lord appears in various forms in different ages to uplift the saintly and downtread the unsaintly and to re-establish dharma. But what's the ultimate aim of all that? The ultimate aim is sukham atyantikam yattad buddhi grayam atindriyai, to attain that happiness which is the highest happiness. Actually, this quote is from the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and yad labdva cha parang labham manyante nadikam tataha. One thinks, when one is situated in this happiness, that this is it, this is the highest happiness. But that's describing the happiness of the practitioner of the Ashtanga Yoga system, who actually attains to Yoga Samadhi in that system. But it's not the highest happiness, actually. This description can be used for the actual highest happiness in Krishna consciousness, but in the Gita, it describes the bewildered state, actually, of someone who's controlled their mind and senses, but still hasn't fixed it on Krishna. So, ecstasy. We're all meant for ecstasy. Srinvantu Vishve Amritasya Putra Aye Dhamani Aye Dhamani Divyani Tastuhudi. Shvetasvatara Upanishad calls out, hey, come on, what are you doing? You're all sons of nectar. You're all meant for immortality. You're meant to be going home. You're meant to live in the spiritual world. What are you doing down here? You remember where you were. Come back. Come back home, back to Godhead. So we take to Krishna consciousness. Why? For happiness. We may couch it in various ways. I'm looking for God. I'm fed up with my materialistic life. Everyone's looking for happiness. Amrita. Nectar. Immortality. Happiness. We're looking for that. And we all attain happiness in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, why would we do it? Why would we take to it in the first place? Why would we stick with it? However, it is a common observation that often devotees in the beginning of their Krishna consciousness, when they first surrender to Krishna, or they have the idea to surrender to Krishna, they feel great bliss, and especially the devotees who were in the present when Srila Prabhupada was personally present here, when we disciples of Srila Prabhupada, we remember the bliss of going out on book distribution. It was tough, it was cold and harassed by the police, and I have to, every sale is done by, not very easily. So a lot of austerity and a lot of bliss. Kirtan, bliss. Anyone who's been in Krishna consciousness movement for any amount of time, they must have so many memories of so many blissful kirtans. And sometimes we may think, yeah, bliss, bliss. What happened? What happened? Where is that ecstasy now? Years ago, I remember during the Mayapur festival, Hari Kesh Maharaj was giving a talk. This was after the Soviet Union opened up, and there were Russian devotees came, or devotees from the Soviet Union came to Mayapur for the first time, and it was over. The torture of devotees, the anxiety, working underground, that was all over. Now Krishna consciousness can be openly practiced in the Soviet Union. And Hari Kesh Maharaj said, so what are we going to do? Where's the ecstasy now? I'm paraphrasing. Maybe someone has a recording. I'm paraphrasing. He said that when there was so much difficulty, there was so much ecstasy. Kunti Devi famously says the same kind of thing. Vipada santu ta shashvat tatra tatra jagat garo bhavato darshanam yat syat apuna bhava darshanam. That when there is danger, We remember you, Krishna. So give us danger. Who will pray like that? Give us danger. Give us danger. Then we'll, by seeing danger, by facing danger, then we will see you face to face. And then we won't have to undergo the danger of repeated birth and death. So anyone who's pushed themselves in Krishna consciousness, pushed themselves really hard to distribute books, of course there are so many devotees doing even now, but for many it may be more of a past memory, pushing, really pushing, day after day after day, going out, away from the temple, living in a cold van, going out on a cold street, meeting cold-hearted people and distributing books to them. It's pushing ourselves for Krishna. And then it's not only in book distribution, there are so many services. There's no comfort zone. It's all austerity, but we feel Krishna's mercy. The ecstasy is in the struggle and the danger and the difficulty and I'm just going to take a 2-minute break to stretch. I'll be back with you. Stay tuned. So this Krishna consciousness movement in the modern world, Srila Prabhupada founded the International Society for Krishna Consciousness in New York City in 1966. And it spread rapidly throughout the world due to the sacrifice and hard work and austerity of so many devotees. But inevitably, things slowed down. There was institutionalization. It's not that the struggle has stopped to spread Krishna consciousness, but it's going on at a more sedate pace, and the struggle to control the mind and senses, which Vamanadeva talks about here, individually that's going on, the struggle to be in Krishna consciousness, to come to Krishna consciousness, but it's a more slow struggle. And in fact, one of the main programs of Srila Prabhupada was, of course, preaching. Preaching is the essence. Distributing books, preaching in so many ways. But one of the main goals of Srila Prabhupada was to establish Varnashram society, particularly farm communities where devotees, Srila Prabhupada said, could live peacefully and cultivate Krishna consciousness. So now we're struggling, as well as distributing books and doing festivals and public harinams and trying to preach Krishna consciousness in so many ways. Now we're struggling to establish, better late than never, Varnashram communities, so that people can live peacefully and chant Hare Krishna. Well, if we say the ecstasy is in struggle and danger, and we're trying to make a peaceful situation, of course in this material world there's never a fully peaceful situation, but to bring some kind of sanity, regulation to people's lives so that they can chant Hare Krishna and cultivate that which gives rise to Krishna consciousness. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, performing sadhana bhakti. It awakens. Nitya siddha Krishna bhakti. Nitya siddha Krishna prema sadhya kabunai. Shravanadi shuddha chitti kare udai. Krishna consciousness is awakened. The Krishna consciousness which is dormant within everyone's heart is awakened by the process of devotional service, beginning with hearing about Krishna and hearing and the association of devotees. It doesn't say in the 9 processes of devotional service, taking risks, danger, all these things. risks and danger in and of themselves do not give rise to Krishna consciousness. There are many people who take risks and put themselves in a dangerous position. Remarkably, some people do it for fun. For instance, they go mountain climbing. It's just one example. There are extreme sports which people do for some kind of strange entertainment. So taking risk in Krishna consciousness for Krishna, that is appreciated by Krishna, but the basis, the bread and butter, we can say, of Krishna consciousness is hearing and chanting and remembering about Krishna. And that is what gives rise to Krishna consciousness. These are the processes. Ultimately, it's the attitude, but the processes for awakening Krishna consciousness begin with hearing and chanting about Krishna. And the farm communities are for devotees to live peacefully and chant Hare Krishna and develop Krishna consciousness. And we want that there will be such communities all over the world, and people can live without danger, satisfied, as we learn from Vamana here, with what they have, and cultivate Krishna consciousness. So they can be materially happy, and materially happy means living with the minimum, not living with the maximum, because there is no maximum. The minimum is what we need to eat, the minimum is what we need to, a little house for shelter, and family, that's also not fully required, but for most people it is. And so, yeah, some food, roti kapra makan, food, clothing and shelter, the basics. So live with that and chant Hare Krishna. And it's the chanting that awakens Krishna consciousness. If we find that devotees, they would go, some devotees went out and distributed books and they neglected to chant and read and they fell away, even though they were so pleasingly engaged in activities that are very pleasing to Krishna, to Srila Prabhupada, but they fell away because they didn't do the basic activities. So it's the process of Krishna consciousness that gives rise to bliss. Here Vamandeva is talking about how one can be relatively happy in this material world by not desiring more than one needs. But that's only a platform to come to the higher platform, the highest platform, of being situated in Krishna consciousness. If one is always greedy for more and more things, then he's not able to cultivate Krishna consciousness. There's another kind of greed which is needed, the greed to be Krishna conscious. And that will awaken by the process of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness gives rise to Krishna consciousness. Bhaktya sanjataya bhaktya. Bhakti gives rise to bhakti. That's it. That's the process that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us. And he was taught by his own guru. Krishna nama maha mantra eto shabhav je japae ta krishna upajaye bhav. It is the nature of the Hare Krishna mantra that by chanting it, one will develop this upajaye. This verb in various forms, Srila Prabhupada often translates it as develop. One will develop, or it will arise within one's heart, feelings for Krishna, loving feelings for Krishna. That should be the effect of chanting. And we find that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his chanting, he became like a madman, and there are so many descriptions in Shastra of devotees becoming like madmen, chanting, mad women also, chanting in ecstasy, bliss, and we've had that experience to some extent in our own lives, but why not me now? Why doesn't it happen every time that I chant? Why not feeling ecstasy? Well, There is a reason for that. We may say, well, it doesn't work. I'm chanting and I'm not feeling ecstasy. But there is a reason. And that is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita also. Hena Krishna naam jadi loy bahuba, tabu jadi prem nahe nahe ashrudat, tabe jane aparataha te prachur, Krishna naam bijatahe nakare ankur. If one is chanting, but one does not feel ecstasy, goes on chanting and chanting, but doesn't feel ecstasy, there's no tears are not flowing from the eyes, then it means there are many, many, many offenses. And therefore, even though we're chanting, but it didn't happen. The Krishna consciousness didn't sprout within our hearts. It's just there, still dormant. We got the Bhakti Lata Bij from Guru and Krishna, but it didn't sprout. Nothing really happened. Another example, so we're rowing the boat, but we're not going anywhere because we're still tied up to the shore, tied up by our attachment to the material world. So we have to get over that. That's all. We have to get over it. We have to go beyond that. We have to come to the platform of pure Krishna consciousness. Not to be imitated, but the holy name is Krishna. In this form, Krishna extends his mercy to the jivas, especially in Kali Yuga. And there are so many descriptions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They've given their descriptions of how the effects of chanting holy names on them, how much they're in love with the holy names. And they're so much in love with Krishna that we'll find the Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami and others, they compose so many poems. And what's the subject? Krishna! Krishna, Krishna's form, Krishna's flute, Krishna's smile, Krishna's dress, Krishna's pastimes. And it often may seem repetitive. The same devotee makes so many verses about Krishna's form, how beautiful it is. And many devotees, they write poems about Krishna's form. It may seem repetitive, but the point is they're in love. They just can't stop thinking about it, and they're overwhelmed. They're blissed out. That's why they although there are already so many poems, they compose more poems because they have their own individual blissful feelings toward Krishna. They're enchanted by Krishna. So that's ultimately what we're aiming at. Becoming Krishna conscious. And although in this age, in the present time, our recent acharyas have not encouraged us to exhibit symptoms of ecstasy, such as rolling on the ground, shouting loudly like a madman, we may do. During kirtan, shout loudly like a madman. We may in kirtan lose ourselves, so to speak. But they've recommended some reserve. And that also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on the banks of the Godavari when he first met Ramananda Rai, restrained himself with great difficulty, seeing that there were persons present who could not understand. But anyway, the point is that we are meant for coming up. Let's go up. Let us hold on to the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa Raghunath, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, We can do that. How can we do that? By holding on to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, who is Sarvadeva Maya Guru. He's, all the gurus are present within him. He represents them all. All the avatars, everything. He's brought them all. We can get shelter at the lotus feet of all the acharyas simply by taking shelter of Srila Prabhupada in the Parampara system. And taking shelter means following their instructions and endeavoring to come up, 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 up. Never stop. Never be content. Vamana Dev is giving the instruction here. One should be content. Materially, one should be content. What I got? Okay. Not that, for instance, if one has some sickness, one doesn't take treatment. One may take treatment to get the body healthy, if Krishna so wishes, for better serving Krishna. But materially, one should not be ambitious to improve one's position. But spiritually, we should not be content. I'm not serving Krishna enough. Let me chant more. Let me go on more and more and more in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Sri Vamana Dev Bhagavan Ki Jai. Bali Maharaj Ki Jai. At the moment, in the story, there's not much of a jai for him, but it's coming soon. He'll give up or be forcibly wrenched away from his apparent worldliness. Not only apparent, his worldliness, talking about being a worldly person, he's conquered the whole world, but he's going to be wrenched out of that and thrown back down where he came from, to the lower worlds, but given a better world than he ever had, and he's going to have Vamandev with him all the time. So stay tuned, there's more nectar coming. Or you can read Srimad Bhagavatam at home and enjoy the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.